What's it gonna be?
Now we're drawing for episode 56. It's gonna be the state of...
Is it gonna be Nevada or Arizona?
Delaware!
Delaware!
Guess what?
What?
I didn't think Delaware existed until my friend moved there.
Oh.
I forgot it was a state from the... What? When do you do states? Isn't that like fourth
Fifth
grade?
grade.
Fifth grade?
Yeah, Luke's doing it right now.
Okay.
Or like the colonies or whatever.
Fifth grade until like 2 years ago.
Wow.
I forgot this existed. And guess what? I'm going to go learn about it.
Yeah, see, this is what I'm excited for, is to figure out the states all over again.
Yeah, just to learn about it, see how it is.
Yeah. Do you ever feel stupid about like not knowing the eastern states, like where they're at exactly?
Yes. Guess what? Delaware is on the coast.
Really?
I thought it was up by the lakes, the Great
I would
Lakes.
have, yeah, I would have assumed like more inland and like up
Yeah,
somewhere.
that's what I thought. It's literally on the coast. Guess what? My friend Amanda will be like, "You idiot. No, it's not." Because we've talked about this a million times and I keep forgetting where it is. Delaware. And she's
It's on
like,
the coast.
"We literally just talked about this." Yeah, it's under New Jersey.
Oh. So they're like real close to like
The what's
big
happening.
time stuff. Yeah, like the real world.
Yeah, wow. They're really in it.
Oh, they're with
So
the big dogs.
they're in between New Jersey and Maryland, or Pennsylvania and Maryland, and New Jersey's on the side, and they share like a
That
peninsula.
coastline seems a lot bigger than the other coastline.
There's it's because we only have like two states on that one coastline on the west coast, and then we have
Three.
like 500 on the...
Yeah. You're right. The scale's tipped.
Hold on, I just want to show you so you can see what I'm seeing.
Isn't it weird though to think that their states are that small?
See? There's
Huh.
a Wyoming, Delaware?
Yeah.
Is that what I'm seeing? Wyoming or Wyoming? Is that an O or an A?
It's an O.
That's an O. Wow. I need glasses. But yeah, isn't that crazy?
Huh. The things you learn when you just look at a map.
I know. There's so much about the world that I really could learn, but...
You know, as a kid, I used to love just looking at a globe.
Me
You
too.
know? Just
And I would
spinning it
just like
around.
spin it as fast as you
You
can,
feel it.
and then you'd stop it and be like, "That's where I'm gonna go." And it's
Yeah.
like in the middle of nowhere.
Ooh, I should get my kids a globe. They would love that.
See if they actually love it. Or if
Okay.
it was like, you know, a millennial thing because we didn't have
The
phones and
internet.
the internet.
Google Maps.
Yeah. I
Huh.
wonder how much they'd like encyclopedias.
Not much, dude.
I feel like I looked at encyclopedias a lot.
You did?
Not to read it, just to look at pictures.
I don't think I did that. I looked at cookbooks a lot. Like, okay, when you're in the library, what was like the section that you were like, this is so different than what other people are looking at, but I dig it.
Oh,
Because mine was cookbooks.
mine was Junie B. Jones, which is what everyone was looking at, but it's just all I cared about.
Yeah.
She was so quirky.
Yeah,
She
my
kind of
kids love
reminds
her
me of
books.
Aspen.
Yes. Reading her books, like, because I read those with Aspen, it's very much like her attitude of like very not polite sometimes and just kind of says what she wants and doesn't really care. Like, she cares. She doesn't want to hurt your feelings, but she's not going to tiptoe around
Like,
you.
no filter,
Yeah,
blunt,
exactly. Yeah.
and just silly. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have
Until
anything else?
I don't think so.
Well, we're telling you about Delaware.
Delaware. Yeah. And Amanda is from Delaware.
No, she's currently living in Delaware.
That's what I meant. Living in
America.
Delaware.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's supposedly around all the things like that are happening over there. I don't know, like
Yeah,
New
like
York and stuff.
all the history, though.
Yeah, like there's all kinds of stuff, but it seems like a very small state. So like walk a few
Right.
steps, you're in another place, and then walk a few steps, you're in another place. Probably not real,
Right.
but it seems that small.
Yeah, like, do they have their own airport? I
No,
wonder.
I think the airport's in Philadelphia.
Hmm.
But I'd also, she'll yell at me and say, no. But I'm pretty sure it's just an airport in a neighboring state because it's so close. I really don't know. But
Okay.
anyways, one thing I do know is that our current US president, Joe Biden, was the Delaware State Senate.
Was he?
I guess. I know that from
Oops.
my notes.
Okay. Cool.
Yeah.
I should have looked up something about that because the location I'm covering has a lot of senators involved.
Interesting.
Old senators. And I was gonna say at the end, I'm like, it's weird that I don't have any current information about this. Like, is it just like, are they still living there? Like, I don't know. I couldn't find anything like current
Weird.
about this place. Like, no current videos even. I mean, some people were like outside being like, oh, hey, we're here, but like nothing new
Inside.
about it,
Weird.
which I think is suspicious.
That is suspicious. It's very secretive.
Yeah, that's what I thought too. I'm like, hey, somebody needs to go like check
Can
and see
I
what's
do
going
a
on.
welfare check on this place and make
Right.
sure it's still, that everything's good?
Wait, so before we talk about Delaware, we have a few matters of business
Oh, okay.
in my notes. Okay, first, how was your Halloween?
Oh, though that those business.
Yeah, nothing that serious.
Oh, it was good. It was chill. We just went
Yeah.
to the American Fork Main Street and
Fun.
then neighborhood, and it was chill. It was
Nice.
what I don't like is that our neighborhood has decided that they do a trunk or treat
Oh.
instead of like the door to door, which I
Yeah.
don't like. I feel like, why can't
It shouldn't
we?
replace.
No, it completely replaced it. So a lot of people had their lights off and didn't answer the door. And
Maybe they're scared.
I feel like it's because,
Don't
teenagers steal candy. But I'm
know.
like, if you hand it out, they're not gonna take it, you know? I don't know. I
Right.
just think how, I don't like how it's become. And I don't like the trunk or treat. I feel like it's fine, but it shouldn't replace. But other than that,
Agreed.
Halloween was good,
Our
and I
neighborhood
am
did
ready.
both. Like we did a trunk or treat at the school the Saturday before, and then like everybody was out trick or treating on Halloween.
And that's how it should be.
Yeah, that's how it was in my neighborhood. So
Well,
American Fork, you guys needed to take some notes.
get it together because everyone,
For
I
real.
have a huge bag of candy that I didn't hand out because no one came to my door even.
Oh, that's sad.
Yeah, weird.
Right.
But how was
Second
your
matter.
Halloween?
Oh, it was
Oh.
good. like I said, we went trunk or treating the Saturday before, but Halloween was good. We on Halloween day, like I just spent the day with Aria and Mitch, and we just hung out, and she was just in her costume the whole day. And then we went to the kids' parade, which was so fun. And oh, and I re-injured my tailbone at the
How?
parade because we were waiting for like 10 minutes before the parade started, and Arya kept like tackling me, but I was sitting on the ground, and so I kept like rocking back and forth on my tailbone. And for the last, like, what has it been now? Almost 2 weeks, my
Yeah.
tailbone is still bruised. It's getting
Wow.
better. But the first like week it hurt to walk. I'm like, dang, I really hurt my tailbone.
Wow. That's weird. Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, well, I re-injured it because I don't know if you know, but I broke my tailbone when I was like in the fourth or fifth grade because I was on the playground and there was these really dangerous like monkey bar things. I don't know if you remember them, but there was like
The
three
spinning
like
ones.
circles. Yeah, the three circles.
Yeah.
And you went from one circle to the next. Well, me and my friends, we would jump from the bridge to the second circle and try to like swing off of it to the other side. So we were definitely using it not as intended. And I jumped from the bridge, grabbed the circle, and I don't know if my hand slipped or like it didn't like actually, like the wheel didn't rotate. Something weird happened, a fluke. And so my body went up and then I dropped right onto my tailbone and I couldn't walk for like. Well, I could walk, but it hurt to walk for a very long time after that. And I can't sit for very long anymore. Anyway, that's a long story about my tailbone. And I re-injured it on Halloween.
It's relevant.
Yeah, somehow. Yeah, Halloween was good. Oh, and then Halloween night, we went up and down our Tooele Main Street. And then we took the golf cart up and around the neighborhood and back home.
That's awesome.
It was a great
Halloween,
day.
it's so fun for kids. But
Yeah.
man, as an adult, I'm like, I can't wait for it to be over. Like the day of,
Right.
I'm like, okay, let's get this done.
Yeah.
And
Let's
then I
enjoy
can
the day.
move on to Christmas.
Yeah. So, have you decorated for Christmas?
I have my Halloween tree is now a Christmas tree downstairs.
Nice.
But my black tree. So I put the black tree and then I put white snowflakes in it and red bulbs and a white snowflake on top. And I think it's so pretty.
That's really cute.
But everything else, I still have my ghosts out on my porch. I still have most, I mean, but I don't have anything other than that. Like I still need to switch out my stuff outside and then I need to get my upstairs done. And then we leave for Hawaii the Sunday after Thanksgiving. So that I'm hoping to get a Christmas tree up before we leave upstairs. So
Dang.
we'll see. But yeah, I haven't
That's
officially
exciting.
done my Christmas stuff yet.
Have you put your Christmas lights up? No.
Not yet.
We did that Saturday last week. Yeah. It
I
was
should
really easy.
maybe I'll do that tonight.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Also, I went and saw Disney on Ice. That was my
Oh
second
yeah.
matter of business. It was really good. Yeah, we were up in the nosebleed, so it's kind of hard to see. And
Yeah.
here's my honest review, okay? And like I was telling Mitch about this, and I'm like, man, this makes me sound like so, I don't know the right word, but I don't know. Here's my honest review.
Okay.
It's Disney on Ice, right? So you would expect that the ice skaters and performers and stuff and like the whole production of it to be Disney quality,
Yeah.
right? It did not seem like Disney quality. It seemed like college theater on ice. And I
I
was
could
like, well,
see that.
maybe I'm being too hard on them because I was up in the nosebleeds too, you know? It's so like, I don't know. But like even looking back at the videos I took, I'm like, really what they I mean, a lot of them, like the main characters could do like some really cool stuff. Like obviously I couldn't do that
Right.
ever. Obviously. But like everybody around them though would just like skate in circles. And
Huh.
like it was just I don't know. It was a little bit underwhelming is all I'm gonna say. It's like it's good for the kids. They loved the music. And all of that, but even Aspen and Luke were like, why does Maui look like that? Like, that's not what he really looks like. Or like even like Moana, like some of the characters like looked funky, where like they didn't look Right. Like their costumes look weird, or like they were trying to make it
Oh.
look too much like the cartoon to where it looked weird.
Yeah.
Anyway, hard to
Oh,
explain,
I can
but.
see what you mean though, where it's like the quality should be better for it being Disney branded.
Right.
And
Or at
maybe
least
if.
like semi-Broadway. You know, like a production.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a like production. It was just like a bunch of costumes and on ice.
What a bummer.
Yeah,
At least the
but
kids enjoyed it, you know?
the kids liked it, yeah.
Yeah. But we should say that we are taking a hiatus. We're going to take a break for the holidays for the remainder of November and for the month of December. We're gonna take a break and we'll be back with new episodes in January. Our Patreon will still get exclusive content, but we won't be releasing new episodes for the next month and a half. It's just to
Cause,
prevent burnout, because holidays are
right.
hard for parents and for just people in general. So it's hard for us to find time to get these done and then for us to sit and edit and get it out, and it's all a thing. So we have to kind of give ourselves some time to
Yeah.
breathe a little.
Right. And in 2024, we're going to come back a new us, but
Maybe.
probably the
Probably exactly the same.
Yeah, probably exactly the same. Just next year. So,
Just a different time and probably colder.
yeah,
So,
right.
yeah.
Right. So, we hope that you guys enjoyed the break. If you just can't handle the break, though, join our Patreon
There are
because.
at least six episodes waiting for
Yeah.
you that you haven't heard yet.
It's been waiting for you. Welcome to our Patreon.
I'm
Yeah, talk about underwhelming. Anyway, no, our Patreon is good. Go to our Patreon and you'll get access to bonus content
Yep.
if you just can't handle the break.
But now that we're doing our Delaware stories, let's get on to it. Today we're starting with our paranormal story.
Oh yeah, we're switching it up
Yeah.
just for fun, just to see what happens.
Just who cares?
Have
You don't care.
we done this before? I've
I
gone
think
first before.
we did this last Christmas, the Christmas episode, as we started with the paranormal story.
Oh yeah. And now we're just doing it for fun. So
Yeah.
we'll see how fun this is. Okay, everybody. This is the beginning of my notes. Turn to page one of your history, US history books, because the US or Delaware is the first state.
What?
Did you know that? Yeah.
It was the very first state, and yet I forget it even is a state.
The very first state.
Wow.
It was first of the original 13 states to ratify the US Constitution on December 7th of 1787.
Wow. That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Also, fact number two about Delaware. It's a corporate hub. It's a significant corporate hub due to its business-friendly laws. Many companies, including Fortune 500 corporations, are incorporated in Delaware due to its favorable tax laws and business regulations. That's why I thought nobody really lived there, you know? Like, you don't hear about people living in Delaware. So, Amanda,
Yeah.
how, where do
How is
you live?
it?
Yeah. What is it like?
Are you surrounded by business? Does it
Like,
get
I bet the Stark Tower would be in Delaware. Iron
like
Man.
Tony Stark?
Yes.
I
You
would
know.
not think that.
No?
No. In my
It's
brain, it's
definitely in
in.
Delaware.
No, in my brain, it's in New York.
With Spider-Man? Like, you think
Yes.
all of them are in New York?
Yes.
Huh.
That's where all the stories happen. That's where
But
all the.
Tony, don't you think Tony would go somewhere else, though?
No, he wants to be front and center and for everyone to see his building. Like Trump.
Yeah. Well, maybe. But
Anyways.
listen to this third fact.
Okay.
It's they have tax-free shopping. So Delaware is one of the few states in the United States with no sales tax. This makes it a popular shopping destination for residents of neighboring states who come to take advantage of the tax-free shopping.
That's
So
so
listen up.
nice.
Black Friday is coming up, everybody.
Go
Now
to
is your
Delaware
chance to go to Delaware
and
and get,
save a few
yeah,
bucks.
take advantage. Or look up the other tax, sales tax-free states.
Yeah, that's weird.
Wonder where else. We'll find out eventually as we go through the states.
Yeah.
I'll just look up, is it tax-free? And I'll let you guys know.
Yeah. So just you might have to wait a few months to know
Yeah.
about it.
But yeah, if you don't want to look it up yourself, just wait. I'll tell you.
Right.
So, my story is about the ghosts of Woodburn Mansion.
Ooh, Woodburn Mansion. That sounds like it sounds like it's a I imagine a wooded cabin, but bigger.
Okay.
And it's like moody looking inside.
A moody log cabin.
Yeah.
Well, let me send you a picture and you'll see how close you are.
Nope. Then why is it called Woodburn?
Know. Maybe I should know. I didn't
Could have
find
done
that.
better. Maybe it has a wood burning stove.
Oh, there is chimneys, so
No.
they do burn wood.
Okay. But they had to name their house after it.
Yeah, they're like, you
Got
need
it.
a name for your estate. What do you want it to be? They're like, wood burn. Okay, so Woodburn, and here's the thing. I keep in my notes, I kept calling it the Woodburn Mansion over and over and over again, but actually in articles they just call it Woodburn.
Okay.
I'm like, but it's a mansion. Anyway, so if I go back and forth, just know what I'm talking about.
Okay.
So Woodburn is located in Dover, Delaware. And Dover is the state capital of Delaware.
Dover, Delaware. That I just had a little flashback from when we did the state capitals in what, fifth grade, fourth grade?
Really?
That does sound familiar. When you had to go and memorize all the things and then put them on the map.
Yeah, it didn't actually click in my head at all. I was like,
Oh.
oh, fun fact, Dover. And I was
Dover.
like, when Dover?
Oh, got it.
But Delaware. Okay. The address to Woodburn is 151 Kings Highway, Southwest Dover in Delaware. So if you're looking to go, that's it. Type that in your maps. Dover is, I already said that, is the capital. And the mansion holds historical significance because it was the former residence of many prominent figures, including governors and senators. It's known for its architecture and the beautiful landscape. So the pictures I sent you can just kind of look and see how pretty it is. It's
Yeah.
probably prettier in person because I was reading how it has like a tree maze.
Oh, really?
I'm like, I didn't see that in the pictures, but that's cool. But I'm also like, maybe that's why they're not talking about it. Like, what's going on in the maze? I don't know. Just kidding. Nothing's happening. Don't come
Nothing's
for
happening,
me.
but it does look like a wealthy person's, like, I know it's a mansion, but like it's like the colony style.
Yeah, like the old timey.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about the architecture in a sec.
Okay.
The land that Woodburn stands on was granted to, this is just like the history of how it came to be. So the land that it's on was granted to David Morgan and his family in 1684 by the Swedish crown, which I don't know how that really works, but the Swedish crown gave David land that it's currently on.
Okay.
About 100 years after he was granted the land, though, in the 1780s, Charles Hilliard III purchased the land and began making plans to build a home. And in 1798, he constructed the home that was eventually called Woodburn. Currently, the Woodburn Mansion is one of the best examples of a true Georgian home in the entire state. So let's talk about what a Georgian home is, which you're gonna be like,
Okay.
oh, okay. And so now I feel like, at least for me, whenever I drive around and I see one of these kinds of houses, I'm gonna be like, I know what kind of house that is. So a Georgian home, typically the windows are
Hold on one
decorative.
sec. What? Huh?
Do you have school tomorrow?
Yes, you have school tomorrow.
Okay.
Okay, go chill, and then I will make food in a little bit. Pressing questions. Is there school tomorrow?
I wonder if he's having the, what is it called when you have like anxiety on Sundays about Monday?
Oh, yeah.
This,
I don't know what it's
I don't remember
called,
what it's
but.
called either, but I wonder if he's like, oh, I wonder if today's the last day of the weekend. But anyway, a Georgian home. So usually the windows are decorative, and there's usually five windows in the front that are equally spaced out. And then it
Okay.
has the doorways usually arched and decorative as well. The floor plan is usually 2 rooms deep on the first floor, and then is usually 1 to 2 stories high.
Okay.
There's always at least one large chimney. Sometimes there's two, like one on each end. And they were called Georgian homes because they were built during the reigns of the Prit of gosh. They were called Georgian homes because they were built during the reigns of Britain's four King Georges between 1714 and 1830. And Georgian homes were elegant and super popular in Europe, particularly in London. Is it Dublin? I just want to say Dublin, but Dublin
No.
and Edinburgh. So, yeah.
Definitely looks like a house that you they styled a Christmas villages in
Yeah,
this farmhouse.
exactly like that.
It's a
You're
Christmas
right.
village house.
You're totally right.
Yeah.
Now I'm not gonna look at those. I'm gonna look at those like differently now and be like, that's a Georgian house.
Yeah.
So Charles, he sold Woodburn for sorry, Charles sold Woodburn for $2,800 in May of 1814 to his daughter Mary. Sold it to her and her husband, Martin Bates. Martin Bates, at the time, was a doctor, a lawyer, and a U.S. senator. In August of 1825, Daniel Cowgill Sr. purchased the mansion from the Bates family for $3,000. So Dan Cowgill, or Cogill, he was a Quaker. Do you know what a Quaker is? And it, like, makes me think, like, okay, I know, like, there's Quaker farms, like Quaker oatmeals.
Yeah.
You know, like, what is a Quaker? So I looked it up. A Quaker is someone is a male who's a member of a religion that is focused on peace, equality, simplicity, and social justice. So I don't know if it's a male-only religion or if it's just like, I don't know
Like
how
a
it's a
belief system
religion.
or moral compass, kind of like Masons.
I compared it to the Masons, but like
Okay.
the good Masons.
Yeah,
Not that
makes
there's
sense.
bad Masons, don't come after me. I'm just saying
But
Quakers aren't controversial.
okay. That's a good way to put it.
So Dan, he was a Quaker, and he bought the house for 3,000 in 1825. While he owned Woodburn, he freed his family's slaves, and the mansion became a stop for the Underground Railroad.
No way. That's
Yeah,
cool.
this is kind of a fun, but dark part of the story. Yeah, so the mansion became a stop for the Underground Railroad during the pre-Civil War era. Enslaved people were hidden in the cellar of the mansion until they were able to make their escape on boats during the night.
Wow.
Story goes that one night, a group of slave raiders caught wind that the mansion was being used as a hideout, and they came to the mansion looking for slaves. Mr. Cowgill, luckily chased them away, but one of these raiders, they attempted to escape by climbing up one of the trees on the property, mm-hmm. but when he got up to one of the top branches, he slipped, and he got caught in a knot in the tree where he ended up being hung until his death.
Oh, so kind of
quick karma there.
Yeah.
But also like, ooh. So, some people say that to this day, you can hear someone screaming, choking, and then some say that you can see an apparition of someone hanging from the trees.
No way. Oh gosh, that's terrifying.
Yeah.
I wonder if anyone's actually seen that, though.
I don't know.
Or if it's like, you know, a tale.
It seems like a tale, honestly, yeah. to me, because mm-hmm. I haven't heard any updates. Like, no investigators have gone to investigate or get evidence. Okay. Which, spoiler alert, I don't have any, like, evidence, you know, of any of this stuff. Yeah. So I'm like, that's suspicious. I mean, I know it's a government's residence, like a government-owned place now.
Mm.
But it's just weird that there's no...
So it's not like a museum. It's Mm-mm. not open to the public in any way.
You can schedule tours by appointment only. So kind of like the White House, I assume.
Okay. So no one's living there.
I think the governor is living there.
And you governor can tour
of it? Delaware. Yeah.
Maybe you can tour the land. Maybe not the...
And like maybe like the lobby area. I don't know. I don't know.
It's just fascinating to me that it's like there's anyway.
Yeah, weird. That's why it's suspicious, but there's probably like a real good reason. I'm just being.
Maybe they hold like top secret meetings there.
Yeah.
So, like, they can't just have people like roaming around.
Well, and I was wondering, like, did Biden live there?
I don't know, maybe.
The president? Yeah, I should have looked into that. I don't know.
Well, we still can.
We still can. Okay, intermission from my story to find out if Biden lived here.
Did Biden live
at Woodburn? Although my notes said the governor lives there, so I don't know if the senator would live there. Unless my notes are wrong.
He owned a home in Wilmington, Delaware.
Hmm.
No, they don't want to give us specifics, huh?
Yeah, there's like no...
That's why I feel like it may not be like a home right now. I wonder if it's like a meeting place.
Yeah, maybe like a kind of like the what is it called? Which I'm drawing a complete blank. What is that place called?
What?
In Utah.
State Capitol.
Oh, yeah, no. I mean, yes, that's actually a better example. But I was thinking of where you have to be a club member, and we were talking about how Josh would want to be.
Alta Club,
yeah. So I was just thinking maybe it's like an Alta Club type situation, but for like politicians, you know?
Yeah.
Like only they can stay there or meet there.
Yeah, but it's sus.
So, yeah.
It looks like, from what I can tell, that since 1965, the governor's house has been the official residence of Delaware's governors.
Yeah. So does that just mean like we just are to assume that the governor actually lives there?
We are to assume the governor lives there, but also. I think we can also assume that there's top secret conversations and meetings that's why people can't be around it.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Logic.
So the mansion was sold again almost 90 years after the, remember, because the last thing I talked about was the slave raiders that came,
yeah,
the guy hung from the tree. Now his ghost is there sometimes. Well, there I just wonder, like, what makes it want, like, not want to be there, but, like, what makes it be there and not be there?
How come it's not just a constant ghost?
Yeah.
Visual?
Like, what summons ghosts? Like, unintentional ghosts.
Yeah. Whether it be residual or not, how is it that some people see it sometimes and most of the time no one sees it?
Right.
Is it a sensitivity? Is it a...
And sometimes if it's like a residual thing, it almost seems like it's perfect timing, you know, like the person looks over and happens to see exactly when the moment starts to when it ends, you know? And it's like,
yeah,
how would that happen? How would the ghost know, like, oh, now's my moment?
Or maybe it's not the know, like, that they know. It's just a energy thing. Like, it just
slip through the cracks.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Wow. I don't know. I'm feeling very, like, inquisitive is, I don't know if that's the word, but, like, why and when and who and why? Like,
right.
How come not me?
Yeah.
But also, how come some people?
And could I make it happen if I wanted to?
Yeah, like, can you manifest it? Can you make it happen if you believe hard enough?
Yeah. Right.
I don't know.
Isn't that a Disney song? You believe in miracles.
Yeah, from the Prince of Egypt.
Believe. Yeah.
Yep, that's a good song.
I don't think I sang it right, but it's something like that. Did I?
You did.
Huh.
There can be miracles.
Oh, there can
when be you believe.
When you believe.
What's the rest? I don't know. It's a good one, though.
It is a good one.
You will when you believe.
Maybe we're not believing enough.
That has to be it. We'll try again. We'll try harder next time.
Yeah, I'm like, how do I believe more? You know?
Right.
Okay. So, the mansion was sold again 90 years later.
Yeah.
In 1915 to Daniel Hastings. He was a U.S. senator. That's all. There's a period. I'm sorry.
The U.S. senator cliffhanger.
Do you ever do that when you're reading and you're like, yes, that's the end of that?
The punctuation was not recognized during this reading.
Right? Like, I don't know why I read it like that, but I did. So.
Senator.
Daniel Hastings was a U.S. senator, period. During his ownership, he renovated the exterior of the mansion to give it a facelift and a new curb appeal. He added pillars, a brick porch, a reflective pool, you know, things that you would do if you had senator money.
Yeah.
That's why, like, the pictures I sent you, like, it looks really nice, but I think that was after the renovation.
Oh, okay.
So I wonder, I'm like, did they not think it was picture worthy before that? Because I didn't find any pictures before. I don't know. Maybe somebody could find it, but I did not. So from the 1920s until the late 1950s, the mansion just jumped from owner to owner, mainly wealthy politicians. Are the ones that live there. Then it was purchased by the state of Delaware in 1965, but some site said 1966. So 1960-something. It was purchased by the state of Delaware for to become the new governor's mansion to serve as the official residence of the governors of Delaware. And when they purchased the mansion, they also dumped in $70,000 worth of renovations then, I think mainly on the interior to make it more modern and so that somebody could actually live there, like, you know,
like code stuff.
Yeah, probably. So now, like I was saying before, the mansion occasionally hosts events and does tours. And this is from the Delaware.gov. So, which I find interesting because this is from like their state website, this story. And okay. I wonder if it's like one of their top stories, because when you just type in Woodburn, Delaware, it like one of the first things that pops up is Delaware.org. And it's this story.
Okay.
So I just copied and pasted. Here we go. The first ever report of a ghostly activity in the home can be found in a paper from 1824. It was recorded by Judge Fisher in a paper he wrote for the Historical Society of Delaware called Dover in 1824. The experience happened in 1815, about 25 years after the house was built. So the house wasn't even that old when this happened.
Hmm.
It said, a Dr. M.W. Bates and his wife lived in Woodburn Mansion in 1824. They had a Lorenzo Dow as a guest overnight. As Lorenzo was going down the stairs to eat breakfast with the Bates, he passed a gentleman going up the stairs who was dressed in fashion of the preceding generation.
Hmm.
Complete with queued hair, knee breeches, ruffled blouse, etc. This apparition was solid, and Lorenzo thought he was another guest and didn't realize that it was Mrs. Bates' long departed father, which he later learned at the breakfast table from the Bates themselves.
Wow.
So her father, so remember Barry, oh my gosh. Remember Mary Bates, which is the daughter of Charles. Hold on. Let me go back to it. So Charles was the one who built the house.
Okay, yeah.
And then he sold it to his daughter for $2,800 in 1814. Well, so just to put this back in the timeline, it was a year after... So I'm assuming her father passed away. I guess I could have looked into that further. But she bought the house from her father. Her and her husband lived there. A year later, they have this preacher, Mr. Lorenzo, come and stay the night.
Mm-hmm.
And in the morning, he went down for breakfast and saw this apparition of a man.
Okay.
And when he went down to breakfast, he was like, so the story goes that Mary was said, hey, do you want to give the prayer? He's like, well, shouldn't you call down your other guest? And she's like, we don't have another guest. You're the only guest. And he was like, well, I just walked past this gentleman. He looked like this. He was wearing this. And she was shocked because she realized that was the exact description of her own father.
Whoa. Crazy. Oh, my gosh. You know how scary it would be if, like, you invite someone over and they're like, are you going to ask so-and-so to come? And you're like... No. What, Levi?
And then they actually describe your dad.
Levi, are you guys fighting over the switch?
No, but I want to play good. And Axel could play switch.
Sorry.
You're good.
I'm trying to do something. Mm-hmm. Can you guys take a break from games for a second and just watch a movie until I'm done? Please?
Mm-hmm.
Tell Axel I said so. Both of you, put them away. Watch a movie. Close my door, please. Levi! Thank you. Okay, sorry.
Isn't it funny? Like, every recording, I mean, yes, we have technical difficulties, but I swear too, like, it's every other one. It's either my kids coming in or it's your kids coming in,
Yeah.
but it's never both at the same time, and it's never none.
I
You
know, it's
know?
never uninterrupted.
Yeah.
It's always interrupted by dogs,
Yeah, and
kids,
dogs too.
tech. Like, and I feel like I wish people would understand this is why it's hard to do this, is because we are moms first.
No, but really though.
This is like, so just, you have so much going on, you know?
And you know what, you guys? If we keep this in, let me just talk to the listeners here. This is another reason why it's kind of difficult sometimes, is because, like, me and April are each other's cheerleaders.
Yes.
Our husbands do not give a crap that we're doing this.
No.
It just makes it hard. So we have to,
Yeah.
like, make sure that we have the time set aside. And sometimes that
It
can't
just
happen. Or it
doesn't work.
happens delayed, you know? That's why this is going to be a delayed episode, too. So.
Yeah. And you get it because we have family first. So.
Right.
Anyway.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
We're just
Okay.
surviving here. It's fine.
Yeah. At least we're doing that.
Yes.
So.
We are doing the bare minimum, but it is all we can do.
Right. Okay. So, her father, Charles Hilliard, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
He was the builder of Woodburn Mansion.
Yeah.
According to those who knew him, Hilliard was known to enjoy a very strong drink.
Ah.
They say, and then let me just say this, to paranormal enthusiasts, if they have heard of Woodburn Mansion, they associate it to his ghost.
Okay.
Because he is known as the wine drinking ghost.
Interesting.
So they say that if a glass of wine is left downstairs at Woodburn during the night and turns up empty in the morning, that is a sign that Hilliard's ghost has finished it off.
That would be so fun to test, but can you imagine if it
Yeah.
really was just like the people who worked there?
Right. Well, that's what I kept thinking. I'm like, if you were to debunk it, though, you'd have to set up cameras everywhere.
Yeah.
And,
You
like,
would.
verify that none of them glitched for an hour or, like, 10 minutes while somebody just, like, chugged it real quick.
Yeah.
I
You
don't know.
Really would have to have it, like,
monitored,
and then chances are it wouldn't happen. But then.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
Like, because you're watching, it doesn't happen.
Yeah. It's like you can't watch freaking milk. I mean, not milk. Hell. You can't watch water boil or else it takes forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Sorry, I couldn't imagine anything but milk after you said that.
Sorry. Anyway, that was stupid. Continue.
It's okay. So, Frank Hall, who owned the mansion at one time, said he would sometimes pass Hilliard on the stairs and he was dressed exactly as described. So, like, in that old-timey, with the ruffled shirt, like, the wig,
mm-hmm.
all of it. According to hauntedhouses.com, the owner stated that he would fill an antique decanter with wine every night, but then the next morning it would always be empty.
Wow.
Governor Charles Terry Jr. claimed that he saw an apparition of a man in a white wig helping himself to a decanter of wine in the dining room. So he actually saw the apparition of him pouring the wine.
What?
Yeah. It's like I was saying, he's known as the wine drinking ghost.
Right.
The former governor's wife, a former governor's wife, who is a professed light sleeper, has heard on occasion footsteps going up the stairs at a time that no one is around or could have been responsible for the footsteps. There is another ghost who's occasionally seen floating around the mansion dressed in Revolutionary War costume, like dress.
Oh,
Which I'm like, that would scare me.
that would scare me too.
I don't know what it is about Revolutionary War attire, but seeing that.
It's like eerie, I think.
Yeah, even like when people aren't like ghosts, they're just dressed up like that. I'm like, that's scary. I don't know. And
Don't
maybe
know
it's
about
because.
that.
What was that movie that we saw? It's probably because I saw a movie as a kid that had something to do with that. With like Mel Gibson or something. Patriot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a
I
good
used to watch
movie.
that in the Closet Club all the time.
The Closet Club. Have we talked about what the Closet Club is?
I don't think we have, and I think
Should
it's really
we keep it to ourselves? Because
yeah.
it sounds like a Harry Potter thing, because it totally was.
It kind of was, though. So, yeah, let's talk about it. The Closet Club was a under the stairs closet that our mom, when we moved into the house that we lived with our grandma, our mom was tired of us, one, being in her way, and two, being noisy. So she's
Well,
like,
we were moving into this house and she was also trying to paint. And we kept
yes.
saying, "Can we help? Can we help? Can we help?" But of course, we were like not helping very
No.
good.
Yeah.
And so she was like, "Here's a closet."
Yeah. She's like, this is the Closet Club. You
Isn't this
come
so
in here.
fun?
You come in here. And it had an outlet, so we put
Yep.
in
And
a little
shelves.
TV with like VCRs, and we would
Yep.
watch movies in the Closet Club so we didn't bother our mother.
Yep.
And it fit three of us girls
It was
for
really dark in there too. Like once you close that door, lights out.
yes,
You know?
we'd sometimes sleep in there
Yeah.
overnight just for fun. We'd
Right.
have sleepovers with our friend Taylor, and we would
Yeah.
go in there and
Play
play
games in
games.
there. I was just gonna say that. Yeah.
Yeah, but it was kind of like Harry Potter, but we weren't forced to live there.
We
It
were.
was just to get
It
away from our mom.
Right. Right, exactly. It was out of love,
Yeah,
for
and
sure.
so in that Closet Club, we watched The Patriot on VCR.
We watched The Patriot and The Titanic. That's
Yeah,
all I
the one where you had to
remember.
switch the VCR to the second one.
Oh, right, part two.
Yeah. So funny.
And I remember we only watched part two, didn't we?
I don't remember. I feel like maybe the part one had like the nude scene.
Oh,
So
yeah.
mom's like, only watch part two, which is when all the death
People
happens.
die. Yeah.
Yeah.
The trauma.
It's like either you watch like them fall in love, or and then be naked, or you watch death and sadness. And now
Yeah.
mom told us only to watch sadness and death.
And here we are talking about cr true crime.
And
So.
now you wonder why.
Right. Okay. And we watched The Patriot too.
Yeah.
So. That was
And
allowed.
Red Dawn. Is
Yeah,
that what
and
it was?
Dancing with Wolves.
And Saving Private Ryan.
Oh, and this wasn't on VCR, but Hardball. That was like in
Oh,
our that was
yeah.
in our queue often.
Yeah, we watched a lot of really violent
Yeah.
stuff.
Sometimes like the movies that I have seen and I remember seeing them, but then there's like other movies that I haven't seen and Mitch is like, you know, your parents were very protective of certain things, but like
Yes.
certain movies that you've seen you should not have seen. And I'm like, I know, isn't that weird? Like
We watched a lot of war and true crime.
and horror.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's get back to this. I'm
Sorry, we
almost
were
done.
talking about the Patriot and we just totally went
Oh
off.
yeah, Revolution War costumes.
Yes.
Freaky. There's also a ghost of a little girl that's seen around the mansion. She's seen wearing a red dress and is seen playing by the garden pool. And she was first spotted in the 1940s and has resided in the mansion ever since. Which I also find interesting. So I'm like, the first time she was sighted, and then ever since she's been seen. And it's like, well, then why though? Like, why ever since?
That's weird. I don't know.
In the 1985 inauguration party for Governor Michael Castle, multiple guests felt someone tugging on their clothing, and when they would look, no one would be there. And that same night, one of the guests said that they saw the apparition of a little girl standing slash floating in the corner of the reception room.
My gosh.
So yeah, and that's it. That's the end. But isn't
Wow.
that creepy?
Yes. That'd be so scary to see.
And nothing since. And nothing since. Or maybe something since, but nothing recorded since.
Which is strange.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
Out of 1940s. I was like, what if it's like Benet Ramsey? You know, John Benet Ramsey?
Oh, yeah.
But no, it was after her time.
No, way after her time, for sure. Oh.
Yeah, weird though, huh?
Yeah, there's something off about this
All
place. If
right.
anyone that's in Delaware, Amanda, if you see this mansion and just have, the curiosity to knock on their door and say, excuse me,
Where are the
where
ghosts?
are the ghosts and where have they been?
Yeah.
And where are the people and what are you doing here?
Right. And show us the maze.
I want to know what this maze is.
Where's the end of it?
And what's in the tree? Is there anything in the tree?
Yeah. The tree.
And also the ghost girl in
In red.
just
Is she
report back.
Republican? Yeah,
Report
report
back.
back for sure. Get an appointment, maybe.
And do some groundwork for the pod,
Amanda's gonna be like, I'm not gonna listen anymore because you guys are giving me homework.
it's just like
So, and you guys didn't even know Delaware was a state before this episode, so.
you're idiots and I hate
Yeah, right.
you. Well, that's a good story. Now I'm really curious though. Like I
Yeah.
do find it weird that there are no new or modern even stories. Like
Well, even when you look it up and it's like, yeah, governors live there. It's like, but who?
but also who now?
Like, who's the governor of Delaware? And does he actually live there?
I don't know. It's probably a
Is he a
mystery.
fraud?
Does Delaware even know? Who's your governor? And where does he live?
Yeah.
And if
What if
not.
their governor doesn't even live in Delaware? That would be
Ooh.
very Delawarean, I think.
Well,
Because who
yeah.
lives in Delaware besides Amanda? Sorry, Amanda. You live there.
It's just for businesses and Tony Stark.
Yeah.
We made that up.
Not fact.
That's not a fact.
We get
Oh.
sued by Delaware. Like, we get tourists coming to look for Tony Stark's building because of you guys.
We're being sued for defamation of a whole state.
We've already
Just
done that to Utah,
be
so.
more relevant.
Yeah.
That's not my fault. So, I'm going to tell a true crime story. Why
Okay.
did I say it like that? I don't know. Okay. Just before 7 a.m. on February 10th, 1991, Sandra Bray woke up to a phone call from her husband Robert's employee, Ilsa Pennington, 52 years old. She said she would not be at work that day because she was feeling ill. Elsa repeated herself several times to Sandra, which Sandra thought was really strange that she was calling out sick, especially because she never missed a day of work since working with Robert. So Sandra knew something was wrong and asked Elsa if she wanted her to call the police, which she said yes, and they got off the phone.
Oh.
Sandra woke up Robert and told him about how strange Elsa's phone call was. He pointed out that Elsa wasn't even scheduled to work that day. So Sandra and Robert decided to go to Elsa's home in Wilmington, Delaware to check on her.
Okay.
When they arrived, they realized that Elsa wasn't home at all and that her car was missing. She lived with her son, 30-year-old Hugh Pennington, and he seemed to also not be home. Sandra and her husband, Robert, couldn't help but feel like something was off, so they checked the house and he eventually went into the basement cellar. Once they reached the bottom of the stairs of the cellar, they saw Elsa's son, Hugh, on his back, bound by duct tape at his hands and feet. He was undressed down to his underwear. As they got closer, they realized how truly gruesome the scene was. Hugh's throat had been cut from ear to ear so deep that he was nearly decapitated.
Oh my gosh.
The floor of the cellar was covered in Hugh's blood, and in the blood, they saw footprints. Sandra and Robert immediately called 911, and Sergeant Mark Daniels of the Delaware State Police arrived on the scene. As he examined the scene, Elsa's neighbor came over to see why the police were outside of her friend's home. Her name was Bonnie Red Dog. Okay. Sergeant Daniels questioned the woman, and she said that her husband, Jim Red Dog, accompanied Elsa to her house the night before after they had spent some time together. Bonnie also freely confessed that her husband, Jim Red Dog, was a convicted murderer.
Really?
Yeah. So Jim Red Dog was 37 years old at the time. He was mixed with Sioux Native American and Assiniboine Native American groups, born in Montana, and he was a member of the Lakota tribe.
Okay.
He had been in and out of jail his whole life and received separate convictions for both manslaughter and murder for previous crimes. Not only that, but Red Dog was in Delaware under the Witness Protection Program with the FBI and had been released on parole only 8 months before. So the night before Sandra and Robert found Hugh in the basement, Red Dog was out drinking at a local bowling alley with his buddy. After attempting to pick up women, which I'm like, is not he not married to Bonnie, who's
Well, and also, why would he? So, Bonnie is friends with what's her
Elsa.
name? Elsa. Why would Bonnie let him walk her home late at night?
I'll explain.
Okay.
Yeah. I'll get there.
Okay. Got it.
So, he's trying to pick up women at this bowling alley and was continuing to fail. And the guys eventually just dispersed and went on home. But instead of going home, Red Dog drove to the Penningtons' home and knocked on her door. When Hugh answered the door, Red Dog forced himself in and demanded that Hugh give him all of his money. At some point during this robbery, the drunken Red Dog tied up Hugh with duct tape, stripped him down to his underwear, and took him into the basement. Before he left, he used a hunting knife to slice his throat, where he died in a pool of his own blood.
That's so sad.
Elsa Pennington was at Red Dog's house with his wife, Bonnie, who had been friends for the past 6 years. He said that he needed to pick up a vehicle near Elsa's home and ask for a ride, to which she agreed. So he's like, "Hey, I need to go near your house. Is there a way you could give me a ride?" Like trying to act all innocent, right?
Yeah.
And she's like, "Sure, why not?" And they had been friends for 6 years, so it wouldn't, I guess she didn't feel alarms yet.
Okay.
On the drive, Red Dog admitted that there was no vehicle he needed to get. He wanted to speak to Hugh about getting some lithium, which Hugh took for depression. So he's like, "I have to confess, I don't need to go to a car. I just didn't want my wife to know that I was going to get lithium from Hugh." And She's like, well, Hugh's in bed. And he's like, no, I talked to him. He's watching TV.
Oh
But
my
she
gosh.
doesn't know that he has
Yeah.
already killed him, right?
Right.
And
Oh
so
my
he's
gosh.
like, okay, yeah, I just need to talk to him. So they get to Elsa's house and she's like, oh, it looks like he already went to bed, so you'll have to talk to him later. And so Red Dog forced himself into the house and then also forced Elsa to the bedroom and raped her several times before he passed out drunk in her bed.
Oh my gosh.
Elsa was terrified and didn't know what to do. She was frozen and just couldn't, like, do anything. And so she remained laying in bed next to him for the rest of the night.
Wow.
In the morning, Red Dog forced her by knife point to call in sick to work, which is when Elsa spoke to Sandris and secretly agreed for her to call the police.
Okay, gotcha.
So he didn't know that she asked that question. She was just like, yep, like trying to act normal.
Yeah. Thank
But,
goodness. Thank goodness
right?
that she thought to ask that.
No kidding.
You
Like,
know?
if something seems weird and you know that they're not acting normal, are you okay? And then they can respond, oh, no, I'm good. Like, they can respond and then be, but you can at least check and make sure that they're in a safe position,
Yeah.
Anyways, but before Sandra and Robert arrived, Red Dog raped and sodomized her again, forced her to drive him in her car to a deserted farmhouse in Oak Orchard, Delaware. Oh,
So does she
torturing
know
her.
that he killed her son?
Not yet.
Okay.
Red Dog continued to sexually assault Elsa more when they got to the abandoned farmhouse. While in the farmhouse, Red Dog wrote a note to his wife, which began with, quote, I went crazy last night and I killed Hugh. After he finished, he ordered her to drive to a friend's house in Millsboro, Delaware, to, quote, pick up something. When they got to the friend's house, Red Dog left Elsa in the car with the knife and the rifle that he had, so that he could talk to his friend and use the phone inside. But she luckily took this opportunity to drive away and escape. Red Dog saw Elsa leave and drive away and said to his friend, oh my God, she knows. And his friend asked, knows what? He said, quote, she knows what happened. I killed somebody. Then he asked his friend for directions and then ran out his back door. So
My gosh.
I'm like, or she just tried to escape you because you've raped her 1,000 times.
Yeah.
But
Yeah.
also, and maybe she found the note that he was writing to his wife. I don't know.
Right.
Elsa drove to the first enlightened establishment she could find, like a gas station or something, it didn't say exactly, and they helped her call the police. She was flown to Christina Medical Center and examined for sexual assault. When she told the police about everything that happened, the police informed her that he was dead and that Red Dog had likely killed him. In the house, they found the following evidence. They found Hugh's bloody pajama top was in Elsa's bedroom closet. A pair of blood-soaked socks were found in the washing machine. Bloody footprints were discovered on a rug on the basement steps. Heritage cigarettes and the cigarette butts were found in the master bedroom. Several long strands of hair were found in the bed and in the master bedroom, or sorry, found on the bed in the master bedroom and on the floor of Hugh's bedroom. In the master bedroom, they found lengths of rope tied to the bed and a coil of rope under the bed. In the basement, they found a used roll of duct tape with a bloody fingerprint on the inside. They also found latex gloves with a piece of paper labeled guest check with directions to Baltimore, Maryland. So I'm not sure what that piece of evidence was, but Sergeant Daniels launched a massive search for Jim Red Dog that day. After he spoke with Elsa, Red Dog was found and captured shortly that same day while crossing the Winchester Bridge in Wilmington, Delaware. The bloody fingerprints on the roll of duct tape was positively identified as Red Dog's.
Mm-hmm.
Other fingerprints found in the kitchen were also his, and the hairs found in both bedrooms matched his hair.
Gotcha.
Jim Red Dog was charged in a 9-count indictment returned by a grand jury in February 1991. Two of the counts, murder in the first degree and possession of a deadly weapon during the commission of a felony, were related to the death of Hugh Pennington. The indictment also charged Red Dog with 4 counts of unlawful sexual intercourse in the first degree, 1 count of kidnapping in the first degree, and 2 counts of possession of a deadly weapon during the commission of a felony. Sorry, that was a whole lot of charges, but they tried to stack them up, right?
Yeah, right. Get them for everything they can.
Right. And he, Red Dog, entered a nolo contendere plea, which I believe is just a no contest plea, on the charges on March 12th, 1992. So he, a no contest or a plea is basically when the defendant does not accept or deny responsibility for the charges, but waives the right to a trial and agrees to accept whatever sentencing.
Okay.
The Superior Court heard the evidence by the state and concluded that there was factual basis for each of Red Dog's pleas of no contest. The Superior Court stated that based on the state's recitation, I don't know. Based on the state's evidence, they were convinced that a jury would have found Red Dog guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, mm-hmm, as to every count of the indictment. Therefore, the Superior Court accepted all of Red Dog's pleas of no contest. It entered a judgment of guilty with regard to the charge of murder in the first degree and each of the other 8 counts of the indictment. So he was found guilty of all.
Gotcha. Yeah.
After Red Dog's conviction of murder in the first degree on March 12th, 1992, a hearing was scheduled to determine the appropriate sentence for his crimes, and he waived his right to have the penalty hearing before a jury. So his sentencing hearing, he was like, nah, I'm good. I don't need a jury. You decide. And the penalty hearing began on March 30th, 1992. The state was able to establish that Red Dog was on parole at the time of the Hugh Pennington's murder.
Mm-hmm.
He had been released from prison on June 27th, 1990, which was less than 8 months before he murdered Hugh.
Jeez.
So I'm like, why was he even released?
Yeah,
because he had 4 murder charges before he killed Hugh.
Right.
So this makes his 5th murder. How was he ever released?
Yeah.
That makes no effing sense. And he was in witness protection. Was he snitching on other people? What was he on with, like, in witness protection for? It doesn't say.
Right.
Weird.
What's going on in Delaware, you guys? There's a lot of secrets, it seems like.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of something weird, you know?
Right.
During the penalty hearing, the state presented comprehensive evidence of the circumstances and details surrounding the murder of Hugh Pennington. That evidence was introduced by testimony from police officers who investigated the crime, scientific experts, witnesses, and the testimony of Elsa Pennington. The state prior offer of proof was corroborated in every respect. So basically, every piece of evidence they had, they were able to prove that it was Red Dog.
Wow. That's crazy.
The state also presented evidence about Red Dog's appearance at the bowling alley in Millsboro earlier in the evening. He described himself to the women he was trying to pick up as a Terminator and an enforcer. And when the women were like, "What are you talking about?" He's like, "I hurt people."
Ew.
Yeah, so he like
He's proud of it. Proud of
really
it and
liked
not
his.
hiding it.
No, not hiding at all.
Yeah.
And I wonder if being rejected so many times, if he like lost his mind and was like,
Yeah. Like, let me prove it then.
yeah, like I am an enforcer and a terminator. I'll show you people who don't believe me, because they probably scoffed at him and was like, yeah, okay. You
Right,
know?
right.
Anyway, he was a freak. Okay.
Jeez.
Red Dog's attorney tried to come back with the excuse that Red Dog was intoxicated when he murdered Hugh, and said that Red Dog was or has a history of alcoholism and drug abuse, and that he has mental problems. And all of the defendants' witnesses testified that Red Dog had been drinking all day the day he murdered Hugh. He also had been abusing cocaine that day. They argued that Red Dog's mental problems were diagnosed as organic brain disorder, which is caused by repeated head injuries. But the court rejected this evidence because in 1991, after he was arrested, a forensic psychologist, Dr. Kudis Tavlin-Dogan, he evaluated, or she, sorry, she evaluated Red Dog, and she diagnosed him with substance abuse and dependence. He also with personality disorder with narcissistic and antisocial traits. But she found no evidence of organic brain damage or impairment of the cognitive functioning.
Yeah, so nice try.
Yeah, nice try. He's just an asshole.
Right. It's not brain damage. You just are. You
Yeah.
just suck.
Yeah. Another staff psychologist, Dr. Iqbal, administered tests that showed that Red Dog was in the upper range of average intelligence, with the ability to read at college level, and concluded that there was no evidence of mental problems at the time. So he's capable, he's intelligent enough,
Yep.
he's just an ass. Like, he's just a bad person. So the Superior Court were like, nope, we don't
There's no
accept.
excuses here.
Yeah. So the Superior Court sentenced Red Dog to death by lethal injection. Red Dog requested a death sentence and refused to appeal it, as it would violate his warrior's code in the Native American
Oh.
heritage. He told a judge he wanted no appeals or motions for stay of execution, and Red Dog's family supported his decision to not fight the sentence. They said that he was going to his death with dignity, and was proud that he was giving in return what he took, a life. So they're like, good, you're doing the right thing by giving your life up for the life that you took. So they
Okay.
were like, yeah, you shouldn't appeal, you shouldn't fight for your life, basically.
Like, nice knowing you.
Yeah. Sorry. I realized that my room is getting dark, so I had to a little bit of light, maybe. Okay. Let's see. But because he didn't want to appeal his sentencing, his attorneys had him mentally evaluated again, because they're like, you're nuts. Of course you want to appeal this. And Judge Norman A. Barron said that he found no substantial showing that Red Dog is currently incompetent, and that the court would respect Red Dog's rationally based wishes. So he's like, nope, he's decided that he doesn't want to appeal. He doesn't have to appeal.
Right. Like, if you give him that option, don't question it when he takes that option.
Yeah, and
You know?
why, if
Right.
he's like sentenced to death, then if he's okay with that sentence, why then fight it, you
Why
know?
question that? Yeah, it's like, oh, wait, he wasn't supposed to do that. You know?
Yeah, he's supposed to not want to
Yeah.
or not be okay with. I don't know. I think it's weird.
That is very weird.
And one thing I saw was like, oh, well, if he has suicidal thoughts, then then he isn't mentally capable of accepting this sentence or something. And it's like, but
so he has to not
if want he it. Has regret or show of any regret,
yeah,
that's supposed to mean that he doesn't need his sentence. That doesn't make any sense to me.
No.
But okay, whatever. He was to have received his lethal injection in July 1992, but under Delaware law, the death sentence was automatically appealed to the Supreme Court in the state of Delaware. So Judge Barron's ruling wasn't upheld until November, and his execution was rescheduled for March 3rd, 1993.
Automatically appealed. I'd be pissed if I was that judge. I'd be like, okay, so like my sentencing doesn't matter.
Right. Well, I think if they don't appeal on their own, like the state, then it just goes right to the Supreme Court for them to like really set it in stone, I guess.
Oh, okay.
Just like to get more eyes on it to make sure that the
like a double
sentencing.
check.
Yeah. But it seems unnecessary to me, but who knows?
Yeah.
Okay. Red Dog requested John H. Morissette, a tribal medicine man, to come and meet with him. I guess they had met a decade before in Montana, and they did, like, rituals together. So he requested that he come to see him in prison before he's executed, and Morissette was like, I don't really remember who you are, but I'll come and pray with you, I guess. So the prison officials were kind of like, I don't know if this is a good idea, you know, but they approved it anyway, and he was able to come. And so he agreed to come pray with Red Dog to prepare him for the Sioux Native American afterlife. He conducted Native American rites over Red Dog for about 2 minutes and placed a necklace over his head. After receiving last rites from Morissette, Red Dog said, quote, I'd like to thank my family and friends and my attorney, Penkowski, for supporting me and all others who treated me with kindness. As the drugs were administered, he choked and told his wife, I'm coming or I'm going home, babe. James Red Dog was executed by lethal injection on March 3rd at the State Correctional Center in Smyrna, Delaware, at 39 years old. And then as a result of Red Dog's crimes, Delaware Senator Joe Biden, at the time, who is now U.S. President, introduced legislation that required states to be notified by federal officials when dangerous criminals were placed in their jurisdictions.
Yeah.
So if they're placed there, even in witness protection, the local police should get a heads up, like, hey, yeah, just so you know, we've placed this guy in your place. So
yeah, so if there's anything freaky deaky going on,
yeah, keep an eye out.
Right.
Anyway,
duh, that should be like common sense.
But that is my story of Jim Red Dog. He is considered a serial killer because he has 5 murders under his belt. Oh, he was right. Number 5. The other 4 were he was already in jail for. So
that's
technically
insane.
A serial killer, but yeah. Anyway.
Dang.
How he was let out though, like
right.
I think that's people's biggest issue is that he was let out too many times. Because each time that he was released, he would commit a crime shortly after.
Yeah.
So why would he be released at all?
And in protective custody.
Right. And then not watched. Like, I feel like
yeah. That's very irresponsible of whoever was in charge.
Right. Where's his parole officer? Like, they can't babysit them constantly. But, like, I feel like, I don't know.
Like, interviewing their family and friends, at least, and being like, how do you feel like they're doing? Because his wife, Bonnie, was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely...
He's a murderer, by the way.
Yeah. Like, honestly, like, after it happened, like, the first thing she said was, oh, yeah, definitely my husband.
I kind of wonder if she was like scared of him. And I don't, the only reason why I think that is because this guy was out. So Bonnie had Elsa over at her house, right? And they were just having a girls' night. I think I read somewhere that they were just having a movie night or something. And then her husband comes home and is like, Elsa, I need you to take me somewhere. And he's been out going and picking up women, and he's married.
Right.
And
oh,
he's
yeah, that's right.
A drug addict and a alcoholic, you know?
Yeah.
So what if he was abusive? And she was like, found her opportunity to be like, my husband's a murderer, by the way, to the police. And then, you know, turns out
she was right.
Yep.
Dang.
See, I feel like maybe this is why we don't end with the bad stories.
The sad ones.
Because then we're like, oh, well, now what?
Yeah.
But
no, good job.
I think we should make that a thing, is to rotate every other time.
Okay.
Once we start up again.
Yeah, definitely.
Anyway, we hope you guys have a fun holiday season with family or friends or however you choose to celebrate it. We hope it's great, and we hope you have a safe time, and we will be back in January.
Yes. Yeah, I'm like nervous about how fast time is going to go by. You know, this next month and a half, we got Thanksgiving, we got Christmas, and like September went by fast, October went by fast. And so it's like, okay, these next 2 months, like, here we go.
Right.
So it's, yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
This is our deep breath. We're going to come back refreshed.
Yep. Rejuvenated, and hopefully give you some good stories. Okay.
Is there anything else?
I don't think so.
Join our Patreon. Yeah. Honestly, if you guys still want to hear from us this holiday season, join our Patreon. That's where we're gonna be exclusively. It's gonna be a great time.
It's gonna be wonderful. All right, well, happy holidays. See you later.
Yeah.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.